Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the mic, straight out of London, UK, you are listening to Max the WrestleManiac, if you will.
Maniac gang, what's good everybody? Hope everyone's well. Welcome back to the WrestleManiac UK show. My name is Mex. You're tuned in with me for the next 40 minutes to an hour or so. But before we get into today's podcast, I mean, Survivor Series. That just happened this past weekend. The show all about brand supremacy. The show all about The Rock, who never turned up to his own kind of anniversary show. The show all about an egg. Yeah, an egg, which carried on over to Raw. We now know Austin Theory stole the egg and Vince McMahon rewarded him for being the cheeky chappy who stole an egg. So yeah, he got a WWE title shot against Big E on Raw in the main event. But of course, Big E retained. But Survivor Series, okay pay-per-view in terms of the action. Becky versus Charlotte was probably the match of the night in the opening match. Of course, a lot of animosity there, a lot of heat there, and it was good to see both ladies put on a professional performance somewhat, but still bring in, you know, the aspects of their disdain for each other. I thought it was a very well done match. And of course, in the main event, we had Roman Reigns versus Big E. Again, a decent match, you know, two WWE guys through and through, putting on a really stellar performance. Hard hitting, big power moves, and Roman Reigns got the win as we thought he would do. So that is all the WWE pay-per-views done this side of the year, all the major pay-per-views, if you like, across the promotions kind of for this year done. WWE will be back on January 1st. Day one is this kind of new pay-per-view they're doing on New Year's Day. So we'll see how what they, you know, build up towards that. But today's podcast, and you know, bringing it back to what we have to talk about today, so I spoke to ultimately it's a fan conversation, we're all fans, but this one was a bit special for me. So I spoke to a woman named Angela, and Angela previously spoke on the Twitter timeline about how she is treated as a fan of wrestling, being a woman, her experience, other ladies' experience as well as some shenanigans. Some shenanigans that took place at WWE Live in London maybe about a month ago now. Very, very interesting stuff. And I thought it would just be great to hear from, you know, a black woman who is a WWE fan living in London. I'm not sure how often you come across a black female that is a WWE fan that lives in London. So I grasped my opportunity with two hands and I sat down and had an amazing conversation with Angela. Angela is someone that, you know, was on Twitter all the time supporting my videos, my work, supporting others' work and stuff like that. We've kind of brought her into this community and she's a new AEW fan, which you'll hear on the podcast, and she's absolutely loving life now that kind of she's got her tribe, so to speak, around her about wrestling. And it's great, you know, it's great making these relationships online. And yeah, you guys are really, really going to enjoy this podcast. I need you guys to, you know, hit me up when you've heard this podcast. Let me know your thoughts. Share this podcast as well. Like I said, I'm speaking to Angela, wrestling fan from day one, and letting us know how she feels as a wrestling fan today and her experiences as a woman being a wrestling fan. I hope you guys enjoy this interview and I'll catch you on the other side. Guys, I'm with Angela, and you know, myself and Angela, we've been talking quite a bit on Twitter before today. It was actually something that popped up that you were discussing on Twitter that made me think we need to get Angela into the studio. Yes. We need to have this conversation.
We need to discuss.
But I'll let you kind of introduce yourself to the people.
So, hi everybody. My name is AJ. Hold it down. Angela.
That's the Twitter handle.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, Yeah, thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. Obviously, big wrestling fan as well.
Huge wrestling fan.
That just a few weeks ago, you were at the London show at Wembley.
Yes.
How did that go?
That was my first ever show.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. That was literally, I'm still buzzing. That's how much I actually loved like wrestling. Like, because obviously childhood wise, I didn't get to go.
Yeah.
But so to go as like an adult and then just to see the stars, it was incredible. I loved it. I want to be taken back. I just want to, best moment.
I went to the September show in 02 when they were here.
So you went to the bigger one.
I guess.
Was that the live one?
Yeah, it was a live show. And that was my first WWE show. Mm-hmm. So I've been to like indie shows.
Here, yeah.
That was my first WWE show. I went with my wife and we could see the amount of, like, it was very kid driven.
It is.
Now I get it.
It is. There's kids everywhere. There was kids shouting behind us. But I felt like a kid as well. I was screaming. I was there like, because childhood, I've seen different stars, right? Mm. And then they've seen their current stars of today, which is cool. But when I saw like Randy Orton in particular, because obviously we grew up with Randy Orton, I lost myself. Yeah, I was just screaming, and he's the guy. He's actually such an incredible performer.
Yeah.
In real life, him and Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens.
He's actually incredible in real life. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just.
That guy has so much more to give. Like, the minute he leaves WWE in January, it's looking like.
I hope so.
he's got so much more to give. And he's someone that he loves his family. He's very much documented as a family man. So to go to somewhere like AEW, where they don't work as much as WWE, he can be at home much more.
Fingers crossed. To a certain extent.
Yeah. But we want to get to know you a bit more before we jump into the kind of core thing we came here to discuss today.
Cool.
As a child, what was your like favorite wrestling memory?
Oh my God. Where do I start? It has to be like my first earliest memory of wrestling is when I don't know what it is, but I tuned on into Channel 5 and I somehow saw Kane. And I don't know where, I don't know who, like it was Masked Kane. And I was just like, that was my first earliest memory of wrestling. And then I think my, I don't even know where to start. There's so many. But when Austin cut out that 316 promo, my life changed. My life changed forever. Every time I, like, you know how people see angel numbers?
Yeah.
Every time I see 316 on the clock, I'm just like, yeah, life is going to be great.
So you're definitely an Austin guy.
I am Austin through and through. I was, I even went to the show with a 0% chance that he was going to show up. But I was like,
wait. Austin,
you know what? In this life, you've got to hope. You've got to hope and pray that Austin's going to show up. But even when they were playing like the WrestleMania vignette and they played his music, I was ready to leap. But I realized, oh, it's not Austin.
It's Austin.
So I was just like, okay. But no, all love. Especially when you did your last episode, which was Austin.
Break it down.
I was just like, I was giving fives to everything. It was just, Austin can do no wrong in my eyes.
I hear that. He's definitely a legend. And I'm glad you enjoyed that. A lot of people did. What about, now, I'm going to ask this question because I know, especially here in London, in the UK, wrestling's not... It's very hard for us to find each other as fans, generally speaking.
It really is.
Do your parents know you're a wrestling fan?
Do your friends know you're a wrestling fan? My parents know real and true. That's the only thing they approve of in my life. I'm a wrestling fan and they approve. Like, I think my dad, he kind of was the spearhead for me to loving wrestling because I remember my first PS2 game was Just Bring It.
Come on.
Now, I always...
That's what, number three? Was that SmackDown 3?
I think so.
And then you got Shut Your Mouth and then Here Comes the Pain.
Yeah, everyone loves Here Comes the Pain and I personally don't understand why. I think Just Bring It is the best game ever.
Fair enough.
Following SmackDown versus Raw. Mm. But, yeah, that was my first... Yeah, so my dad was kind of like feeding into it. And then obviously back then, wrestling was so accessible. It was so easy to watch wrestling. Mm. So when it was like on Sky Sports, Tuesdays, 5 p.m., I remember after school.
Because
I remember one Raw was at 1 a.m. at Sky Sports 1. And then, yeah, you couldn't watch it because you were like, you had to go to school the next day. But yeah, I remember it. And I always used to set reminder it, record it. All the PPVs were $14.99.
Love to hear it.
So no, I remember.
We're with a real one, guys. We're with a real one.
A real one. This is what we're going to talk about. Real wrestling.
We'll get there. We'll get there. 100%. Name me one wrestler you don't like that people like.
Right. It's hard because I actually love all the wrestlers in their own unique way. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. One wrestler. This is going to sound so bad. Don't get me wrong. I love Jade Cargill's energy. Mm-hmm. I just need to see a bit more in the ring.
Okay.
I just need to see a bit more. I mean, I'm going to say I don't like her, mm-hmm. but I feel like, you know, she's early days, I understand.
They're protecting her. They don't want to put her out there too much.
But come on, the girls are putting thumbtacks in their mouths. The girls are fighting.
So you want some of that?
I want hardcore, you know, what the women are putting on today. Mm. They're really pushing themselves out there. And, you know, I think you got to push yourself hard. You got to push yourself, like, go to the extent that these people are going. Like, don't hold back. This is a new age.
I hear that completely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the women are really pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm. But with Jade specifically, mm-hmm. like, as we're seeing her career on TV, mm-hmm. these are probably the amount of wrestling matches she's ever had.
Probably true.
There's been nothing before this. So she has to get to that stage.
She has to
learn to get to that stage.
But then to be that, doing that, and then being the favourite for the championship, come on.
Because they built her up so high.
Exactly, but then follow that build up, you know.
Match the build up.
Like, you're there, the build up's there. Like, let's match it up
Let's match it. All right. Then.
But not to say I think she's phenomenal. I love her to death, but I just think let's just step it up a bit. I want to see something different.
That's a fair opinion. Yeah. I think. And to be honest, a lot of other people are thinking, all right, mm-hmm. she needs to be in more of a struggle. Maybe we're seeing a lot of squash matches from her and just dominating people.
Literally, two punches and a lift, pin, you're done. And I'm like, okay, that's nice. You're strong. You're beautiful. You know, look like a Linda Evangelista. You look beautiful. Come on,
she's our Black China, as she's being dubbed. So,
oh gosh, yeah.
We'll see how she gets on. We'll see how she gets on. Let's do some. Let's see where you are with certain things. We're gonna play a bit of this or that.
Oh my god!
So okay. I'll throw two things at you. You pick your preference amongst the two, right?
Okay, cool.
Sheamus or Cesaro?
I've always been a Sheamus fan.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
I've always been a Sheamus fan. No, but in terms of wrestling, I definitely Cesaro, hands down, okay. hands down.
I've literally just become a Sheamus fan within mm-hmm. maybe the last 2 to 3 years. Before I just didn't get it, but fair enough. Mm. Tights or trunks?
Trunks.
Okay. Cool.
Trunks.
Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels.
I love it.
Shawn Michaels, hands down. If you start to know that I like the charismatic wrestlers. Cool. I like the ones that are, you know, love to put on a show. So hands down, Shawn Michaels.
Cool. Spot fests or strong style?
Spots.
You like the spots?
I like the spots.
Cool. Kofi Kingston or Booker T?
Kofi Kingston.
Yeah. Are you judging that by today's Booker T?
Yes, by today's Booker T. You know, it's all about the present moment, what we're dealing with right now. Let's forget about the past.
No nostalgia.
No, to a certain extent, but.
All right, let's do the next one. Backstage with all the stars or mm-hmm. front row WrestleMania?
Backstage.
Cool. Trish Stratus or Lita?
Trish all day, every day.
Would you rather have a sick, like, appearance, aesthetically, good entrance and your gear and everything, mm-hmm. or be sick in the ring as a wrestler, as a worker?
Ooh, that's hard. I think with today's wrestling, I'd rather be a sick in the ring.
In the ring.
Yeah.
Cool. Cage match or Hell in a Cell?
Oh, my God. I have a funny story about this.
Go on.
There was one time in my life I didn't know the difference.
you didn't notice that one?
Do you know why? Because there was two different rules. Because with the steel cage, I forgot that you had to climb out the cage. Mm-hmm. And then Hell in a Cell, I like got confused with the two.
Okay.
Until this day, I still get corned. This was 5 years ago. I still get corned over the fact that I don't know the difference between the two, even though I clearly know the difference now. Personally, steel cage.
Steel cage.
Steel cage.
Cool. I think I know the answer to this one, but Stone Cold or The Rock?
Stone Cold. All day, every day.
Are you a Rock fan?
I like The Rock. I just think Stone Cold is a lot more.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah. To my tastes.
Attitude Era or Ruthless Aggression Era?
Why are you doing this to me, man? Ruthless Aggression.
Why, can I ask?
I think I was more conscious of the Ruthless Aggression Era. Like, Attitude Era, I had to look back and look at and just enjoy the good moments. I still think it's a phenomenal era. Stone Cold. I'm a Stone Cold fan, and I only watch the Stone Cold. But yeah, Ruthless Aggression, I think as a child growing up, it made much more of an impact on me. So I think, yeah, definitely.
Last but not least, the burning question. WWE or AEW?
AEW.
And you're just a recent convert.
I am literally just a recent... Recent,
how long
like
have you been watching AEW?
I literally think it's been 2 weeks now.
Amazing.
2 weeks and I'm already obsessed with AEW. Amazing. I can't believe it. Actually can't believe it.
Amazing. I've literally been watching AEW since the inception.
Really and truly.
Obviously since them man were in Japan, the Bucks and Kenny Omega. So I know all of their stories.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, this is quite this is mostly like the most phenomenal thing I've seen in wrestling.
Honestly, I think literally, I'm so glad because I came in at the best time to watch, where they've got the tournaments, where stories are kind of beginning and slash developing. And I don't know, but what I'm seeing before my eyes, it's like, yes, the WWE has been an impact in my life, but watching a new style, a new direction, just fresh talent. Yeah, of course, young talent as well, but it's like just a fresh new take on wrestling. It's like, this is the wrestling that, you know, I want to watch. Yeah. I just want to see the fights, the spots, the talent, the stories, the everything. Like, and the fact that it's so new, it still has so much to develop.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's exciting. Like, it's so exciting. I don't like to compare AEW to WWE, but WWE, it's been there, done that, seen the stuff.
You kind of know what you're going to get.
You know what you're going to see. You're going to just...
I feel like a WWE fans, we're living for Royal Rumble.
We're
living for WrestleMania.
Literally. That's it. That's the only time I buy the WWE network. Watch WrestleMania, watch Royal Rumble, unsubscribe, and then just continue my life. I am all elite.
Guys, you hear that? After two weeks.
Gosh, Tony Khan did a good job. Well done.
He's doing the God's work over there, man.
Honestly.
Him and his team, honestly. Amazing. So we know a bit more about you now. We're going to get into what brings you here today. So, like I said, guys, I'm not a stranger to Angela. We've been talking on Twitter for a bit. But I think it was it this past weekend? Just before, I mean, maybe Friday, Thursday or Friday, maybe. There was a particular tweet going around. And I saw a whole host of women replying to this tweet. And it was basically, in a nutshell, a guy was being kind of patronizing to another woman over her fandom in wrestling. I mean, do you wanna take it from here? You wanna give some background to that tweet and stuff?
So basically, the tweet it's just the epitome of gatekeeping when it comes to women involved in wrestling, like women involved in the wrestling fandom. So this particular tweet, this girl, you know, especially it is rife in this area, but especially in the dating area. So you say your interest, you say, oh, I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Sometimes you look a certain way that people are shocked that you're a wrestling fan. And she must have said, I'm a wrestling fan. And then this guy went and asked like the most arbitrary, simple question that has known
to... Do you remember what the question was?
It's an easy one, but who does the RKO.
Oh, come on.
I mean, everyone knows it's Stone Cold. I'm joking. Everyone knows. Everyone knows that RK. Literally, the name is in.
Yeah.
The name is literally in the bloody.
Yeah, in the move.
In the move. So, obviously, she replied back with like fire, and I was just like, "Yes, that's go." Mm. But a part of me was just like, "Why do you have to do stuff like that to just try and catch out women?" And you know, we get. You mentioned something about a real one, but it's like you have to kind of prove that you're a real wrestling fan when it comes to the male fandom, because it's just like it's such a male dominated area that when you are in that space, a lot of people think that you're doing it just because of male attention, when really you're just a fan.
I grew up with it
yeah, and it's exactly it's not like I just got it out of nowhere. It's followed me throughout my life, and it's going to continue following me throughout my life. And it's something that I'm passionate about, and it's something I love talking about. And if I can find a group of people to, you know, express that with, I'm going to do that. But sometimes, because of things like that, you have to kind of hold back, because, again, people are always trying to catch you out for being a real fan, a fake fan. You're just doing it for the male attention. You're just doing it for tweets and this, that. And it's just like, can we not enjoy things?
Can
we not enjoy, like... It's like, no offense, I'm gonna go on a bit of a rant now. But like, of all things, if I'm gonna go and enjoy it, if I wanna get male attention, don't you think it'd be easy for me to just go turkey, you know, get my BBL, go in AFTV and shake my bum in front of every time Arsenal scores? Do you know what I mean? Isn't that like more easier for me than to go, oh my god, we were talking about the accessibility of wrestling now, to go on to choose between BT Sport or the wrestling net or the WWE Network. You don't want to pay for them, then you have to go into what's it called, another website. You click on five links, they all put like 600 adverts. You got to click them three times, and then finally
you're doing actual
work to watch wrestling. So number one, me going through that work, I'm a real fan. We're as real as we can go. But then number two, it's just like, I'm sorry, but we were talking about the demographics of wrestling fans as well.
Yeah.
It's not my particular demographic of guys that I would go for anyway.
So
why would I stay trying to impress them? And yeah, I think that's just the kind of like notion that you kind of want to get away from, you know, just letting women enjoy these male-dominated spaces without without having to prove that, you know, they're here to just for male attention, when it's not. Some people actually just love it. Don't get me wrong, there is girls out there that do it for attention, I'm not that. Like, I've done too much.
Your CV says otherwise.
My CV, my accolades.
The accolades and the resume says otherwise.
Resume says otherwise. Man, I was on the bloody Titantron. I was so...
Come on.
Exactly, like...
They are inside Wembley.
Inside. I was crying.
when I know WWE's a bit more like... like family friendly. Did you feel when you were there treated any differently, or that okay?
I was stared at a lot, because me and my friend, like, even we noticed that there's like minimal black women there.
Your friend, another black
female? Another black woman as well. And we literally, I think there was one other black woman, and that was it. I mean, unless we count Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, but literally, like, there was literally like no other women. And then I just, like, it was just scarce that and there was obviously a lot of kids, there's a lot of mums as well, but are they fans? That's up to them.
Debatable.
But it's just like, I did feel stared at a lot. And when I had, oh my god, when I was on the Titantron, obviously it said my Twitter out. When I tell you the DM,
oh, what? People were DMing you?
Guys were DMing me like, oh my god, I've never seen a girl in wrestling before, blah blah blah, do you want to come after the show? I was like, no, let's stop.
Are you being serious?
Wrestling fans are thirsty.
I know that, but I wouldn't even have thought like that as an access point.
They think that is like, because they think that's what you're there for, to get the male attention. And obviously, you know, now that you're there,
she's wept. You've actually brought a whole different dimension to this conversation that I didn't even think
it can get like that. I was asked out like asked to come after the show a lot. Like, I was just like, it didn't put me off wrestling because that's not what I'm here for. Mm. But it's just like, again, you know, like I said, I mentioned before that sometimes these topics of, you know, being in a male-dominated space come up in the dating scene because, you know, you are telling your interest to these guys and obviously they have ulterior motives. Mm. And then it's just like, you know, once you've kind of stroked that ego about proving that you're a wrestling fan, you know, they suddenly think it's kind of like a leeway to kind of a different access point, which is obviously, this is a totally different conversation, but it's just like, again, it's just, that's just like how it is. It's just like, you can enjoy wrestling as it is, but then the fandom, it can get a bit toxic and it can get a bit,
It can get a bit,
but if you have a strong style mind, because I used to have another Twitter account where, you know, I was more wrestling orientated, and then there was other females that I was talking to, but they used to complain about the fandom and how, you know, constantly having to prove yourself in this space, you know, through arbitrary questions such as, who does the RKO or who won the 2004 Royal Rumble? Like, these BTEC questions. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, why do I have to prove myself to you?
And did you say, sorry, that's from other women asking you?
No, that's from men.
Still men.
That's from men. And then, like, you know, once you kind of... Some girls, they stroke that ego. I've just taken a different turn now. Because you're going to tell me, like, why are you asking me this question? I'll tell you the answer. I'll ask you a stupid question. Who scored at the 53rd minute between Arsenal and Stoke-on-Trent?
Now we're
both looking stupid. Do you get what I mean? Why would you have to do all of that? It's not attractive. It's not any way for me to be interested. It's just there to stroke your ego because you're trying to prove me wrong. But... I've noticed only insecure guys do that. Because you don't need to go all through that just to be able to just talk to me about wrestling. It's okay to have a normal conversation about wrestling.
And it's okay to like something and be passionate about something and not know all the answers. Like, even if someone asks you who, you know, does the RKO as a finisher and you answered incorrectly, does that mean you're not a fan of wrestling?
No, listen, when you say the wrong answer, that brings me to my next point. When you are a female wrestling fan, you have to know your shit. You have to know your shit or else people will tear you to pieces. They will rip you apart. You're a fake fan. You just do it for the likes. Your mum should have swallowed you. All of that kind of stuff. All of that kind of stuff. It's just like, you know, you can't, you have to be on your shit. And it gets to a point where I found myself trying to prove myself to these people, these strangers, like Timothy 619 from Warsaw. Do you know what I mean? Like,
619.
Like, who the hell am I trying to prove myself to? And I just thought, no way. Like, and it gets to a point where you're trying to prove yourself where it doesn't get enjoyable anymore.
Yeah.
Because every little detail, like, I found myself like, okay, who was entry number 26 in the Royal Rumble for 2004? Like, I have to do all of that. Come on. It's like...
The thing is, most men don't even know them answers. But this is
the exactly same guys that are interrogating me will turn around and I'll ask them, oh, so do you watch wrestling? Oh, man, I ain't watched wrestling since Baptista, you know. Kent Angle, Triple A. Who are these guys?
Triple A, Kent Angle.
Who are these guys? You people don't even know yourself and you're interrogating me. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to start saying...
generic, like, who's that guy that wears the mask?
Oh, man. 916. It's just like, no, you can't be. Seriously, it's like you have to be on your shit because... Like I said, if you don't know your shit, and if you get one thing wrong, that's, you know, real. It's over for you. You're done out here with the streets. It's a jungle out there. It's a
jungle. Oh,
like, it's mad. Like, it's
so
mad.
There's two parts of it, basically. Mm. Firstly, they kind of test you to see if you can enter this
realm
of men wearing pants in the ring.
Literally.
That's ultimately what they're gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe once you kind of show your level of knowledge and stuff in that, it's like, can I have your number?
Get out.
It's like...
Get out. Because I'm not...
I don't...
It's literally like, come on. All of that. But I just don't give in no more. I just say to any woman watching, just don't give in. I just like, yeah, just, you enjoy wrestling for you. Like, you shouldn't have to enjoy wrestling to prove anybody. You shouldn't have to, you know, force yourself to be knowledgeable. Like, there is people out there that will give you the knowledge that you need. Like, you know, I was talking to you, I'm talking to, you know, your fellow wrestlings.
Yeah.
And they've been like, NK especially, he's been so, so accommodating by just like, there was a time when I was starting to watch AEW, like, I was asking so many questions because I was like, how do I start? Like, what is this? What is that? And he just came to my DMs and just let me know of all the knowledge I need. And now look at me, okay. I'm a fan. Yeah. Exactly. And I think, and like, it's little things like that that make a big impact. Because when you're, like I said, as a woman, it's not easy for you to gain that knowledge because men want to keep that space to themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you as a woman trying to infiltrate, you're just, you're not there for the right reasons. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah.
I think we do obviously have to question the men that are keeping to themselves and what their other lifestyle choices may be, because how can I be gatekeeping a friggin' TV show? Like, would I be like, oh, you can't watch Friends? Like, who's Rachel's boyfriend?
Who's
like,
Rachel's boy?
You see what I mean? Like, you can't watch Simpsons. What's Bart's sister's name? Like,
I don't know. I think it's just like I said, it's only insecure people that do that because they want to catch you out, or it's just something that, you know, you keep to your heart that you don't want someone to like soil or something. And like, again, like, it's just mad out here. But
they say it's for the attention. It is. Once you're in there, they're trying to pay you some attention.
Literally. Oh my god, I'll never forget.
And then you said you had obviously this page, which I'm guessing was just based on like wrestling tweets and stuff like that. So what was like the straw that broke the camel's back as to why you stopped running that page?
Number one, the fandom got really, really toxic indeed. Like, it was just like too much. Like, I had another female friend who was black female, like she was a black fan as well, and she was like a fan. Like, she went to WrestleMania, she went to WrestleMania twice. Okay. But you know, again, you find yourself going through that length just to be able to just prove that you're a real wrestling fan. And you know, like, every comment you make, it always gets like if you even make like a slight discrepancy or a slight mistake, people are rushing into what's it called to correct you. People are saying that your opinion is wrong. What do you know? Blah blah blah, and this that, and it's just like it gets to a point. And I was at uni at the time, so obviously uni is quite a moment where it's just you know, there's a stress in itself. So I just thought, you know, I don't want to deal with that. And, you know, I just think it's time for me to just let go. Like, I deactivated and then, you know, just thought, you know, I feel at peace to just not bring it back again. But, back then I would say it was a lot harder to enjoy because I also just came, I had a period where I just stopped watching. Like, yeah, it's just, you just stopped watching. I think, you know, again, going back to the accessibility, it was a lot harder to watch wrestling because you couldn't have, I think the WWE Network was just kicking off.
Yeah.
But then for UK fans, it was harder because we were getting the delays and then you just slightly lost interest and it was just, but yeah. So I just thought at the time, what is there to tweet about? Not much. I'm not watching wrestling anyway. So I just thought, let me just.
Oh, it sounds like quite an ordeal. Not just yourself, but other, you know, fans that are women have to go through. Hopefully, amongst myself, the guys at Wrestlings, others online now, you're finding more of a healthier community.
Honestly, I've never enjoyed wrestling as much as I have today. Like, and that's, like, on a real. Like, because there's a community out there that would rather educate you rather than berate you.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a slogan right there. Like, educate rather than educate than berate. But you know, it's just like, there's, again, I could ask, like I said, asking so many questions, I feel okay to ask questions about AEW because I know I'm a star. I'm not gonna know everything, and I want to be able
and
to
you're
have
not supposed to you should yeah never feel under pressure to know everything,
but still, you know, sometimes you feel like, okay, if I get this wrong, I don't want to be battered left, right, and center,
I
know.
Hear that.
But it's just like, yeah, so it's like a lot. I'm actually like beaming in the sense that I'm just so excited to talk about wrestling. I'm excited that Wednesdays are coming up, Fridays, Saturday, obviously full gear. Yeah, I just like, it's, you know, having that discussion with people that are like yourself as well, added on top of that, much more pleasurable experience. And I just appreciate like the platforms that are being created by yourself and wrestlings. And it's just like, it's needed because, you know, you think that it's just, you know, yes, the main, we know the main demographic for the other ones and they're doing their thing. But it's just like, again, it's nice to be able to relate to people that are in your community and on your level. And it's just like, amen. Amen. Yeah.
Wrestling fans, generally speaking, the stereotypical wrestling fan, there's something. We all know there's something. It's good when you kind of find the normal ones amongst them, if you like.
Legit.
I could have never imagined the brazenness of finding your Twitter handle online, or sorry, on the Titron, and DMs to follow. Like,
it was mad. It was crazy. Just had to give them, I commend them for trying. That's what I can say. You know, commend them.
I don't even mind, like, you got to shoot your shot sometimes, innit? But like,
where's the wrong shot you're shooting now?
I think that could be one thing. Like, but then I think it's just generally, like, to come with the angle of, like, oh, I never knew women watch wrestling or something.
I've never seen a woman like you watch wrestling. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean? Yeah. You know, don't insult me.
It's crazy. What's your general thoughts on like the current scope of women's wrestling today? Like, especially coming from a time where when we grew up, Attitude Era, ruthless aggression was very much, you know, the bras and panties, the mod fights, and all of that.
Gosh,
what do you think of it today?
I remember the bra and panties. Do you know what? Yeah, so SmackDown versus Raw. That was my warm up match.
As in, you turn on the console and you have
that is like match. I just thought, you know what, let me just warm myself up a bit.
Who was your go-to character?
It was Trish, because she was like the highest overall at the time.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think, okay, let me just beat Stacey Keebler. She had like the lowest overall. Let me just get my fingers ready.
The logic behind this,
literally, like, I don't know how. You know what? God, it just makes sense. It just makes sense to what I am today. But it's just like, yeah, that's how I used to start my SmackDown versus Raw matches. But yeah, like, we have, like, in terms of women's wrestling, I've come so far, but there's always still room for improvement. I think sometimes in particular, like the WWE, for example, they have their peak moments. Like right now, Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch, you know, that's a peak right now. You know, something's happening, which is good. You know, WrestleMania, we had our peak with women main eventing. Lovely. But sometimes it's a bit, I don't think that it's consistent. I'd love a consistent, just amazing storyline, just, you know, something to keep it going, because the women's division is literally, as much as I love Trish and Lita, you know, pioneers, and them, those ones before them and during their time, I think this is like the best kind of wrestling, women's wrestling, that we've kind of seen.
Ability wise.
Ability, 100%. You know, women actually being taken seriously in the ring. But sometimes I think, obviously, they're going to be held back a bit sometimes due to, obviously, the male dominated sphere of it. And I just think, you know, always room for improvement. Always push, like, we need to, obviously, they have been pushing the women a lot, and I think the women have been performing, but there's more scope for women to be able to just go beyond what they're going now. And I think that the women they have now are the perfect people that there is. And I just, yes.
The talent across, especially, obviously, WWE, AEW right now, is crazy.
Crazy. It's AEW, crazy. The women in AEW... phenomenal.
Who's your favorite over there?
Phenomenal. I don't have, obviously, it's too early for me to establish a favorite, but again, Jade Cargill's got my eye. Britt Baker, very, very talented, but also very kind of, you know, it's nice to see a champion like that. in a sense that, you know, she's present, she's there, she's doing what she needs to do. Who else? Thunder Rosa, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Shida, whoo, oh my god, whenever Shida like comes through to the entrance, yeah. I just, there's a little bit of excitement for me. She's incredible. She's my favorite to win the TBS, but.
Well, she's carrying an injury. I know, but Serena D.
And which was a good match. So, which was, yeah, but, was a very good match. But yeah, but yeah. Let's see how it goes, isn't it?
But what about, I was going to ask you, in terms of, you said WrestleMania, we said had the main event. Obviously, there's a two-part question sort of thing, but I personally think going forward, it looks like WWE are having two-day main event, two-day WrestleManias. So I generally think the women should always main event at least one of them at this point. Like, I think that's only fair. Giving the men two main events.
It's a bit too much. Yeah, it's a bit too much. And to be honest, like the way that it is kind of going in terms of the championships with the men, I think one main event is all right.
Like, it's really even if you have your Universal Championship, you've got your WWE champion. It's only Roman's one.
It's exactly, that's what I'm saying. Roman is really dominating right now. Yeah. So I think Roman's one important, definitely main event. But come on, the women deserve. They put on the good shows, man. That was phenomenal.
I said
that was.
I said last year, earlier this year, that Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair was the greatest women's WrestleMania match I have seen. Full stop.
Full stop.
Over how many years? Obviously, it happened to be in the main event. We had the women's main event a couple of years before, Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey. As a black woman yourself, what did you? How were you feeling when you saw Sasha and Bianca, and even before when it was actually confirmed that they're going to be the main event? Like, were you pulling for their
I was, if I could be a cheerleader inside the place, rooting for them, protesting outside, everything. That was the time where I actually felt, because obviously the year that we've had, wrestling has kind of gone. That was the one thing that made me be like, okay, I'm going to watch WrestleMania. Because I wasn't going to watch WrestleMania this year because I just thought, 2 days, too much, same old, everyone's going to be tired, blah, blah, blah. But I just thought, you know what? I'm going to root for my sisters. Going to root for the team. And they performed. They performed. It was so great to see, particularly in the biggest stage of, I still can't believe it, that two black women.
Phenomenal.
Main evented WrestleMania. Like, I'm trying to think of any other time when they, like, the last time I could, obviously a significant main event happened for me was Trish versus Lita on Raw. And that was, they pulled it off. Like, it was a great match. But that's the only, like, yes, there's been significant matches. But for me, as a black woman, that was just.
Me as a black man, it was fantastic. And my favorite part about it all was they deserved to
They
be
deserved
there.
It. You can tell by their faces that they were overcome. With absolute emotion.
They didn't know what to do. The magnitude of the scenario hit them when they were both standing in that ring. The crowd were going mental. The bell hadn't even rang yet. And they looked at each other. And Bianca was crying.
When she was about to cry, I was going to cry with
Sasha
her.
Sasha literally looked at her and said, "Do not cry here." And she nearly set Sasha off crying.
Oh my
well.
God, I love that. That is a moment that sticks in my head for like the longest. It's so phenomenal. Like makes said, me happy, and I just love it.
No, it's great. And they deserve to be there. It wasn't like the tokenism, like, oh, let's just give a women the match at this point. Like, this
they worked
was
hard.
A big story on SmackDown. It maybe wasn't the best told story going to WrestleMania, but it was a big story.
They worked hard.
Two people that deserve to be there.
100%.
The Royal Rumble winner, which is where they should be in the main event of WrestleMania. They done a fantastic job when
phenomenal
they got there as
job.
Well. The match was so good.
I did have my. There was comical moments that I was just like, okay, let's Vince stop this. Like with the hair whip, I was just like,
you didn't like that.
Come on, this is the biggest stage of them all. I want some seriousness for once. This is
this is
our moment. I want some serious choreographed, you know.
You remember you're watching WWE?
I'm expecting too much, but I was just like, oh man, yes, okay, or I accept the whip for where it is, but I was just like, can we at least get a little bit of seriousness here?
You know, I didn't mind it because she fully whipped her. She fully whipped her.
I just thought it was too much with all the bleeding. I was just like, come on.
You heard the...
Yeah.
Like, she fully whipped her.
Expressions whipping me. Like, no, I'm bleeding. Okay,
yes.
Come on.
Yeah, okay, we know, yes.
Like, come on, we have to remember that.
But I think, obviously, it's part of her gimmick. She has the braid for a reason, innit? And they played into it well.
Mm-hmm.
It led to the finish. She was left with the evidence of why she lost the match because of the braid as well on her body. So I thought it's not something they use often. I think that's probably the first time they've actually used the braid since she's been on the main roster. NXT used to use it all the time. But
I think they
used it at the right place at the right time.
The one time that they allowed blade in.
Said blading.
The one time you allow blading is for a hair whip. Deep it.
Look, I liked it. Yeah.
I just have to accept it for it, isn't it?
I liked it.
Maybe I'm a bit more, I guess this is a thing as well. Maybe you're a bit more critical when it comes to your own sometimes.
Yeah, not
so obviously when I see black women, I want perfection. I want obviously there was 10 out of 10, but I'm rooting for them so much. Where I'm just like,
no, that's how I feel. That's like when I watch like the likes of Jade Cargill now, Red Velvet now, I'm thinking you guys like 5 out of 5. Pull it off because if you lot mess up, you know you'll probably be...
You'll be scrutinised and ripped to pieces. You're done. Your push is over. You're sent to developmental.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think it's just a bit of anxiety. Like, no, where it's just that, like, oh, girls, I know you can do great.
Yeah,
you're going to do
great,
but I just want you to do perfect because we know that the world out there is still...
It's a cruel place,
it's
man.
It's a cruel place,
they're not
place,
ready
but...
for some of the things they claim they're ready for.
Exactly.
What improvements would you like to see in women's wrestling?
Definitely.
Or at least how it's portrayed.
Definitely, obviously, more kind of like emotional, not emotional story. I love stories. I love wrestling stories. I love deeper stories. I like them to have more meaningful stories, you know, more... I think, obviously, because the men's division is a lot different. There's a certain standard that they can't cross.
Yeah.
I think it should allow women to cross that, you know. I think definitely, because especially with all the women in there, they've all come from the same background, and I think definitely use that and create an amazing story. They have, but it died. Bring it back.
Yeah.
We want it back. And then obviously just, you know, I think there's always going to be improvements, but you know, there's particular care that is needed for the women. There's particular kind of, I think, give them less restraints. Do you know what I mean? Allow them to be a bit more creative. Allow them to kind of, you know, do what they have to do in a sense that, you know, that they can
just
flourish.
Give them the freedom. Trust them as you
trust
the men,
them. Exactly, exactly. And, you know, hire better stylists. Because what I saw
you cussing. Was it Becky? You know what? Okay, I don't know too much about the style aspect of Becky's last ensemble. However, I'm still kind of taken away with how good she looks just in her health and
absolutely,
her
100%.
Fitness. A lot of people are saying that, you know, she looks like she's sick, that she's not ready to be back yet. This is what it looks like. Like, my cousin is into CrossFit. He's into CrossFit. And that's the kind of training she's been putting herself under. So I get why her body looks like that.
100%.
Like I say, I can't talk on the style.
The style, please.
You're not here for it?
I'm here for it. Some outdated style. But then again, moving from that...
Remember, meant to look outrageous. She's meant to look over the top, big time.
Okay, that's not big time. That's outdated 2003. You know, who were Mohican... Not even Seamus. Seamus rocks that no more. Come on, let's get with the times. But following from that is obviously, like I said, like, you know, there's a certain way that women are portrayed in wrestling as well. They're policed down to the T, like to their bodies, to the way they move, to the way they speak, everything. So it's just like, again, take this into consideration, and also just protect them in the sense that they're not going to be victim to all of these different attacks because they're phenomenal. Come on, like... They're incredible.
You know, being compared to as good as, better than some of their male counterparts now.
100%.
So, 100%. I mean, if there's one thing I would say that I would want to see within improvements in women's wrestling, it's definitely being able to, like you said, book good stories away from the title. On both shows, or, you know, WWE, AEW, the main shows we talk about, it's the title is kind of always takes care of itself.
It's
the
literally
champion and the challenger, but then everything else in the division is just a bit nothing.
Nothing, because then again, out of the TBS Championship tournament, what is going to happen? Like, there's nothing. There's nothing of substance for me to be like, okay, women, this women's wrestling is interesting. Like, again, phenomenal performers, but they deserve the full package, just this story and that story. And I think, you know, they can take a lot from this. I don't know, maybe if any of them have like personal vendettas again, like, for example, they could take a, they could rip a page out of this Eddie Kingston and CM Punk thing that's happening, which I'm hella invested in. So, like, I don't know, maybe Britt Baker and Bunny, I don't know, they went way back in school or something. And
I think they do some stuff like that. So, obviously, like, I think Ruby Soho, when she when she debuted on AEW, she came out and her and Britt had a war of words saying that, you know, I brought you up, like, I trained you and all that kind of stuff. I think with the women, because obviously we know with the men, there's the ROHs and all these kind of other big indie promotions, and the women's equivalents, although it's kind of well documented, it's not well documented.
It isn't.
So yeah, it's like, how far can they tell that story before it's like, well, no one has ever seen this this so-called conflict that you guys say you had 10 years ago. So
literally,
they can't really rely on it as much. But no, definitely we're on the up in terms of women's wrestling in general. Improvements still to be made. But yeah, I think it's definitely in a good place.
It's a good place. Good direction. Good. I'm excited to see, don't get me wrong, I'm excited to see what happens after this TBS tournament, because that is literally what is dominating the thing, the category right now. But after that, I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, at least we're going to have two stories.
We're going to have two stories.
The Women's World title and the TBS title.
Yeah.
And then they'll still have to maybe try and make stories away from the title.
Literally.
Cool. I mean, before we get out of here, before we finish up today, we have something called a maniac moment. So this is the last thing, or the most, your greatest moment that, that popped you in wrestling. So what is your maniac moment, the last thing that truly popped you in wrestling that made you say, you know, what the hell, oh shit, the, you know, your biggest pop of recent memory?
Okay, it has to be, so I've been, again, I've been telling you, I've been catching up with AEW. So All Out 2021, that match.
Tell me what you, tell me what I think I'm about to hear.
Okay, for me, it was that match between the Lucha Bros. Oh, the Lucha Bros.
Guys, she is one of us.
Oh my, I am still shocked at that match.
Best match I've seen this year.
Best, if that does not, if Dave Meltz, if he can do one right thing, right, he will pull. Apart from the Omega and Danielson fight, if he could pull something, I will actually respect that man if he says, this is match of the year. Yeah. I've never, ever seen a match in that calibre.
Madness.
Absolute. The fact that man pulled out Jordans with tacks glued to it.
On it. Super kick with the tacks.
Where do you see that? Where do you see that on broadcasted live television? Ray Phoenix, he instantly stole my heart.
Phenomenal performance.
Phenomenal. And like, I could not believe, like, I think that if man of the match was him, incredible, absolute, amazing match. Absolute. Oh, I still haven't even taken it in.
You're my guy. You are my
actually
guy.
Still haven't taken it in. That was, I wish, it's one of those matches where I wish I was there to see it. Like, I wish I was there live to see everybody's reactions. Because obviously I'm a bit late to the party, but
we went to a watch party and watched it. We all vlogged and everything. It was,
I couldn't believe it.
It was incredible. Like, from start to finish, it wasn't even one of them like slow burners that get better. From start to finish, it was just chaos.
Absolute chaos. Choreographed perfectly. The moves, the story as well. Was there a bit of a story? There was a bit of a story in it. But even still, everything was just perfect too. That match, nothing went wrong for me. Nothing
Brandon
could
Cutler even throwing that shoe over the cage first time needs his accolades. I'm telling people, you don't know how high that thing
is. Something literally
he had to be been practicing.
He before, was practicing,
like, because that was amazing in itself. The most exciting match I've seen this year. Best cage match I've ever seen.
100%. No contender for me, honestly. Best cage match. I've forgotten about all the cage matches. That is the only cage match that matters and is gone down in history, like, proper. Amazing.
And I mean, this might go hand in hand with the last question, but let's dive a bit more into the archives. Mm-hmm. Suggest one match. If you could tell someone to just watch one match, what match would that be? If it isn't for the Lucha Bros and Young Bucks.
Okay. Does the Royal Rumbles count?
Yeah, yeah.
All the Royal Rumbles. Go watch all the Royal Rumbles. Mm. That's the best way. Because when I get WWE Network, I always binge on all the Royal Rumbles. Yeah. And I watch it on, like... And I think the Royal Rumbles are the most enjoyable ways to watch wrestlers. It's also the best ways to get to know the wrestlers. You're getting to know every wrestler. Mm. And, you know, when you're watching it with someone, because I used to live in Japan, and then I used to just watch all the Royal Rumbles with all my friends. Mm. And it was like a discussion moment where I felt amazing. But it's just like, I would, like... All the wrestlers that came out, they'll be asking questions like, who's this wrestler? Is this wrestler alive? Is this, you know, what? There's so many things that you can introduce so many people at one time. And I always just say, you know, just enjoy all the Royal Rumbles. Like, and particularly all the Royal Rumbles that Stone Cold won.
He is the guy. He's won, what, three?
Yep. And all of them were so funny. I loved all of them. All funny.
Austin's a boss.
Absolutely. Honestly, greatest of all time.
100%. 100%. Angela, you've been amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I actually really enjoyed it.
It was a really good conversation, and we have to do this again sometime.
100%. 100%. 100%.
So, what did you think about that then? I mean, some of the stories that Angela was telling, it still kind of shocks me, just, you know, the approach of some people and, you know, how people talk to others, like, as if women can't be involved in something because it's got a sports element. They can't genuinely like it. They must have an ulterior motive. Absolutely crazy. This is a whole 2021, you know, going into 2022 very soon. And this is what people are thinking. Madness. It's mad. But thank you very much, Angela, for coming through. Loved speaking to you. Before we started recording, Angela was all on some, I'm nervous, I don't know, I've never done this before. But she was great, guys. Honestly, come on. She was great. And like I said, all her Twitter information and stuff will be in the description, in the show notes. So please message her, tell her how great she was, and speak to her about her experiences, you know, kind of get more of an insight like I did, because ultimately that's all we all are. We're just fans. So I don't even know why her experience or another woman's experience should be as different as us. You know, there is no quiz to be a fan. You can like something and just like it. You don't have to be the most knowledgeable just because you like something. But yeah, great to hear from Angela. Great to hear her side of things from being a woman that's a wrestling fan. But unfortunately, that is all I've got for you guys today. Another great show. Guys, thank you very much for supporting this podcast, the WrestleManiac UK show. And in fact, thank you very much for supporting everything that I do online. You guys are brilliant. You're great. Best gang of all time, Maniac gang. You get me? So... yeah, I appreciate everything you guys do. Please follow or subscribe to the podcast on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us with a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple Music, on Apple Podcasts. That'd be very much appreciated. And of course, share the podcast at any given opportunity. Let's grow this thing and let's get some more guests on speaking their truth about wrestling and the lifestyle around it. There's some new videos up on the YouTube as well, WrestleManiac UK on YouTube, so you guys can check that out as well. We will be back same time next week, so set your alarms and all of that good stuff, and I will see you then. WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.